Hey, yo, we about to tear it up. Yo,
break for break, break for break, get down.
This right here is how we do it. Break it down.
It's the Breaking Atoms podcast. We break things down to the very last compound. My name is Sumit, a.k.a. the Potty Mouth of the South.
And my name is Chris Mitchell, a.k.a. the Actual Factual.
Woo, we got some historic times. This is historic. This is a kind of official tissue. Actual Factual, Potty Mouth of the South.
Unprecedented times.
Unprecedented times. We are doing our first official crossover as a duo, where we are talking to people, our fellow peers, podcasting peers, from across Europe, and we'll be joining them on their podcast. So this is the kind of official one. We did one back in the last year with our UK rap podcasters, and you know, sharing our platform with them, and that was excellent. But we'll be doing more of these kind of crossovers, which I think we share the love. We get you know, underneath the hood, break things down to the very last compound, and analyze and share our love for this culture of hip hop. And today we have Vice Beats of Fine Magazine. He's an incredible producer. He's from the UK and works with Fine Magazine, which are all the way in Holland. They've been big supporters of the podcast, so it only made sense that we shared our platform. So this is side A. This is the radio single, as Chris calls it, and they got the
streets. Yeah, the watered down version.
Yeah. The not even the primo scratch. It's just a pause. There's just a pause. It's just a pause every time there's a swear word.
This is the Jermaine Dupri produced single.
So deaf. but no, Vice is he has such an unbridled passion for rap, and it's so great to see. He's super humble, and I really enjoyed the conversation we had with him today.
Me too. He's a dope guy, man. Family man, and I'm looking forward to building with him in the future. Not just podcasting, just as a person, because like I say, I don't like people.
Yeah, no, his passion is very infectious. His passion for rap is very infectious, and it's great to see that people are not jaded by this, because we, you know, we jump on conversations all the time and we see the conversations are happening, and it's just really nice to see someone who just has this love for it
and is not jaded.
It's just
or exhausted,
right? He's really passionate, and I love that. And he's given me a kick up the backside. I just think, wow, like, there are people out there that just love this music, not trying to be me, or trying to build themselves as a brand, or trying to culture vulture. He is someone who just simply wants to add his contributions and lend his voice to hip hop, and I think that's a wonderful thing. So salute to Vice.
And I salute
that. Yeah, salute to Vice Beats. So now we appreciate him jumping on the podcast. This is Vice Beats, Fine Magazine, Breaking Atoms, Side A. Check it out. It's another special episode of the Breaking Atoms podcast. Today, this is a collaboration because we're all about collabs, and this is the very first one of many collaborations that we'll be doing with fellow podcasts and people within the industry. Today, we have Vice Beats from Find Magazine joining us on the Breaking Atoms podcast. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm good, thanks, man. It's good to see you guys. So just to clarify, is this the first or is this one of the first?
I'm interested. So this will be one of the... So it's not the first, but this is the first that we'll do together. So there's the A side and the B side,
yeah,
as you mentioned off air. So this is the A side, and then the B side where all the hot tracks are on.
Yeah.
I'll be done with you guys and us.
So this is juicy, and then your episode is going to be unbelievable.
Yeah, because we're trash.
Yeah.
We're trash. So that's what it is. So we did in for Christmas, around the new year, Christmas time for the new year, we did a kind of a bonanza where we invited other UK podcasters in the same space,
yeah,
for them to share the platform with us. And we did a kind of end of year wrap up.
Yes.
So in terms of like the first, that would be the first. But in terms of like going crossovers together, on being on other people's podcasts and together, me and Chris together, this will be the first.
Nice.
So you should feel special.
I do feel special, man.
Good.
Very loved.
Good.
Firstly, we should love to show respect and praise to people from the UK. You're from Bristol, right?
If I'm not mistaken.
Right. So we all, you know, and Bristol's always had a rich history of hip hop in this country. So we always want to give
good point
all praise and due. And then also, Fine Magazine have always been a big supporter and proponent of us. So we always like to show love, man, because this is very important that we do that, because otherwise we get into this, you know, we always had this in the UK rap scene generally. It's crabs in the bucket. It's always been in the industry.
Barrel.
Sorry, and I don't eat meat. You see, I'm a vegetarian. What do I know? If you're talking about paneer, then we're good. But otherwise, I don't know nothing.
No, relax,
but
relax.
I think for us is very much about understanding. You know, coming from a place where we can talk about rap music, talk about each other's stories, and collaborate, and encourage as many voices as possible within this space. Because the more credible voices that come out of it, the more the culture can evolve, and that's our aim, and that's what we want to do. So thank you for joining us, and we really, really appreciate it.
No, I much appreciate it. Thanks for the time. No, it's good to talk to you guys.
Yeah. So firstly, let's talk production. We've had a lot of producers on the podcast, and they tend to be very, very popular in terms of people listening to them and the downloads and streams. And everyone has a different process in how they produce. What is your production process? How do you get to start one? Is it just you make beats and is it mood based? Is it just you just there on a sampler? How do you cultivate and curate your music?
I think that probably the best way to describe it is that I have this sound that will like drill into my head over a few days, where like I'll hear a certain like sample or an instrument, or I'll watch something on TV and it's referencing something, and it'll just stick, you know, and I just won't be able to get it out of my head. And it's like I have to get it down somehow. And whether it's a case of like it's a quote and I want to sample it, or whether it's a case of it's like saxophone and I can hear something where I could build it, or whether it's a case of like I just can hear a riff and I want to play it on keys or whatever it is, it's like I tend to find that there's something like that that will be the stem of it. And then I use Logic Pro, so like I've gone through a variety of software over time. Like I've, you know, I used to have an MPC, I've tried MPDs and various other things, but I've settled on Logic and I really like it. Like I just find that the space is open enough for it. And I think in terms of how I produce, it does tend to be that it's very much that old school approach of like I'll find the right loop, whether it's me playing it, whether it's a royalty-free sample, whether it's one of my friends playing something, whatever it is, I'll lock down like the first eight. And like once I know I've got eight there locked in and I'm happy with the flow of it, then I'll like expand that to whatever it is, make alt versions, like so that I've got bridges and hooks and sort out the intro, whatever it is. But I'll tend to spend the longest period of time on that first eight bars. And then, you know, from there it can expand to whatever. And I tend to find that it will be the lead line that I'm working on first. So as much as I love bass, I do tend to find that bass and percussion and so on are the accompaniment for me. Like I've had a few tracks where they're the first step, but it does tend to be that it's the lead line that I'll work with, and then I'll build the drums around that, build percussion around it, and then like bass will be the last process in that. But as I say, I mean, sometimes it's been a case, I mean, I love doing remixes, especially when there's acapellas. So like, you know, I really love doing all that side of things. So, you know, that's why when I hear stuff on TV and I'm like, oh, that's amazing. It's like my wife just knows that I've switched off and there's something that she's watching that no longer is the same for me. And I'm just like, I need to remember to record that. Right, where's my phone? It is like getting up the Netflix app so that I can record that bit and rip that, play around with that. Or like, you know, it just, yeah. But it obviously, like, it's not always the same, but that tends to be the general process now. I mean, I have my little studio that I love and like I work well with it. I've got my Yamahas that are very bedded in over like the last 15 years, you know, and I know them inside out. You know, I know the hiss, I know all of it, but it just works for me, man. And it's like, I'm lucky enough to work with a lot of live musicians, and that's a big part of my sound. So, you know, I'm expanding all the time, the musicians that I'm working with. So, you know, for a long time, it was like sax and keys and stuff like that. But now it's expanded to drums and violin and various other things. And I'm really trying to essentially build it where if we were all on stage together, it would be a band. But I don't want to do that anymore. I've done all the live stuff. I like being in my safe space and working on my own, maybe with one or two people, and then just having something where I can make it perfect, or perfect to me, you know.
I love asking that question to producers because you always get something different. We've never had that type of answer before.
I was going
to
say that.
It's really interesting to understand the process that one goes through because this is an art. You're creating art and you are an artist. Well, say producer, but essentially you're composing music. So you're a composer in that sense of the word and an artist. And so everyone has their different process to get to the end goal.
Yeah.
And that's really interesting. So thank you for that. Really, thank you.
Yeah, ditto. So before the Yamaha keyboards and the live musicians, you know, you're a hip-hop fan at heart. What was the first beat or hip-hop track that you heard that made you want to become a producer and decide, this is what I want to do with my life?
Oh, man. That's a good question, you know. It's like, I've not thought of it like that before. So, like, I mean, I'd say probably when I went to uni in Lincoln at the start of 2000s, and then when I was there, that, you guys know, I mean, like, the 2000s for UK hip-hop was mad. But that was my first exposure to Ty. Rest in peace. And I mean, you know, he became a really good friend over time, but I heard Upwards at that point, and I'd never really heard an album like that before. You know, and I'd like a lot of us, like, I'd play around with beats. I'd use like Hip Hop EJ and use my PlayStation to make some stuff and all that side of things. But I think when I heard Upwards and heard what he was doing with Drew Thomas, and the sincerity and the soul behind what they were creating. And it was hip hop, but it, to me at the time, it felt like hip hop 2.0. It was like, what is this? You know, and it connected a lot of dots for me where I'd heard Dilla and I'd in different forms and his various production guises. I'd heard kind of all the stuff that I now kind of see as like my mantra in terms of production, you know, like people like Tribe and so on. I'd heard all of those things, but I'd never really heard the UK into that. And I think that's what really connected me to it, where it's like, right, I get this now. I get my in, I understand it. It's like they were working together to create this real kind of beautiful synergy. And I like the fact that a lot with Ty, he would do it so that he'd leave the instruments to do their thing. Like, he'd give them solos, he'd let the beat run out. And I love that. You know, it's like, it's not tight in. It's not like, right, pack all the vocals in, right, track's done. It's like, hang on, let's celebrate the music for a minute. Let's listen to those different sounds in there, whether it's a sample or whether it's live played or whatever. I think that for me was probably the first real step into it. I think if there was a stage before that, I remember listening to Cunning Linguists when I was 16, maybe.
I want to congratulate you for being the first person, apart from me, on this show that has mentioned Cunning Linguists. Congratulations.
Thanks, man. We'll Rap for Food. Ah, man.
Ooh, I bought that album last week.
Special, yeah?
I never had it, so I bought it last week. I'm a piece of strange guy.
Dude, I've got to tell you. So when I was 16, I loved that album. And yeah, I was green at the time, didn't understand the phrase, asked my mum to go get the album. My mum came back and explained to me what that phrase was. Super awkward moment. I mean, you know, like everyone like gets to that point where like you're exposed to certain phrases. You don't expect your mum to be the one who's ending up having to explain a phrase like that. It is like, but man, that those guys like Kano and just their whole movement. I remember hearing that and just thinking, this is beautiful. Like, what is this? How are they doing this? And I mean, I think even before then, like I went on a French exchange trip, and the guy I was with was a bit of a donut, but he had really good taste in hip hop. And like he sent me back with his tape, and I didn't know what I was listening to, but it was I Am, NTM, all sorts of classic stuff. And like for years, I didn't know who they were. And I managed to dig out the tape. And actually the guy who did the graphics for Digging the Crates, he was living in Birmingham at the time where I was living. He's living back in France now. And he was like talking about hip hop. Like he was a massive hip hop head as well, still is. And I told him, look, I've got this tape. I don't know who it is. And like literally just found this tape. It was in a box, like in a garage, like deep deep, deep, dark tape somewhere. And within like the first bar, he was like, "That's I Am," and like got really excited and like was telling me all these tracks. And like, it was just that amazing connection moment of, no way, I finally know what this is that I'm listening to. And, you know, it's just amazing music. And I think it's those kind of things, isn't it, where it just, it sticks with you. And like, you realize that what you're listening to is having a genuine impact on your tastes and just really a life direction in terms of creativity.
Wow. Wow. I just have to say, wow. I'm having a moment because you took me back to when I heard Little Brother, The Listening.
Yeah.
And what that did to me. Never been the same since.
I mean, I know what you mean with like Little Brother. It's like, yeah, I remember seeing them at Jazz Cafe for the first time. And just, there was just this amazing vibe of just, this is something. Like, this is really special. And obviously, like, Ninth has just escalated to some insane degree now. And, I mean, he's very much seen as one of those kind of ambassadors of hip-hop, which is brilliant. I mean, fully deserves it. But, you know, it's weird because as much as he is, I think he's still not quite being seen on the same level as people like Primo and Pete Rock and so on. But realistically, he is. Of course he is. Like, the stuff that he's doing in terms of the artists he's brought into the scene, the impact he's had, the way that he's affected education in terms of hip-hop, everything across the boards. And also, he's one of the biggest ambassadors for female artists. He'll really fly the flag to have a wide variety of different artists and not just your typical male MC. You know, and that's important. You know, it's...
Yeah.
No, it is. 100%. 100%.
I agree.
How much are you dedicating to learning plugins at the moment? You said you're using Logic.
It's never really been my thing, to be honest, man. I think, like, I tend to keep things quite simple. And, I mean, I teach Logic as well. So, like, I've done a lot of masterclasses over time. And I think because for a long time I was freelance and I was working with young people as early as, like, 3 years old all the way up to, like, 60-year-olds in so many different environments, I think I got to the point where I just realized that you don't really need all the fancy stuff. And like, if it works for you, then it works. And it's like, I know so many people who swear by plugins and, you know, like, they've got all these different things that they work on and all that side of things. But I just find for me, and that's great for them, but I find for me that like that detracts from my process. It's like, you know, I've got some Waves plugins that help me to make things sound a little bit nicer. And that's it really. You know, I like that stuff. You know, that works fine for me. And I think I've got to the point over time where I think I was very much that bedroom producer for a long time. Where it's like, I can do all of it. I can press this button and it will master this track and that sound exactly the same as radio. It's like, no, it doesn't. It's like sending it to the professional guy who has different ears. That's what will make it sound like it's on radio. So like, I think I've kind of got to the point where I appreciate the stuff that I do need to pay for. And then the things where I know I can do it myself. So, you know, I've done a lot of my own graphics over time and stuff like that. So I'll still do that kind of thing. You know, and I mean, even with that side, it's like, you know, I find that if I can get an artist to make a nice cover, like a lot of the time they'll be like, yeah, sure, you can have the Photoshop file. So then I can make all of my elements from that. So it's just kind of being savvy around all of it. And it's, I think it's the same with the production side where it's just using your tools wisely. You don't need to throw a ton of money at it to make it work. You know, ultimately, you know, I've got an Akai IE Pro. I swear by it. Great box. I mean, it's relatively old, but just works. You know, like there's hardly any latency. The quality's really high. You know, that and my Neumann mic, and then, you know, variety of different keys and bits and bobs. That's perfect, really.
Yeah. So you work for what's work. That's absolutely. I think I've heard that a lot with a lot of engineers and producers say that. Work with what you've got rather than trying to spend so much on all these different plugins. I think that's really good advice. Talk to us about the start relationship with Fine Magazine. How did that come about?
So I mean, firstly, Danny is one of the nicest humans I think I've ever met. You know, like he's just so supportive and he's got such a genuine love of hip hop. And I think like he for a while, like I was sending him my music and kind of just he he was just supporting it, you know, and that was it really. And I think I was with Wordplay magazine for over 7 years in the end, and Weeds, I was running the podcast for them for a while, and it just, I think it got to the point where like I wanted to do something that was really true to me. Like I didn't really want to play a whole barrage of music. I wanted to talk to people, you know, like you guys get it, you know, and it just, I think I could hear that the podcast that I wanted to create was never going to be there because it was a different kind of audience. And I love like my Wordplay family. You know, they've done so much for me and we've done so much together, but I think it got to the point where I just needed a new challenge, and Danny wanted a podcast that he had for a long time. So, you know, we just got chatting, and one of the reasons why the title came about was that in the first season, quite a lot of the interviews, I mean, the oldest I think was 5 years old, which was Marley Marl. And I just kind of figured it's just nice to go back to some of these bits where some of them are turned into print articles for Wordplay magazine. You know, some of them are turned into like chops for short interviews on podcasts and stuff like that. And I just thought, well, actually, it would just be nice to air all of this as opposed to cutting it up and having to edit it out and stuff, and just having this kind of unedited piece that just works and explore these artists. Because I love those kind of interviews. You know, it's those more in-depth, getting to know the soul of the artist or the creator in some way. And, you know, I think we got talking about, and by that point, I think I'd got maybe 3 or 4 of the episodes down in a basic form. And we just built from there, really. So, you know, it quite quickly took shape. And that's when I got Simon involved, who did all of the graphics for us, and just sounded it out. I was like, look, we're working on this idea. What do you think? And it just all took shape, really. So, I mean, Danny and I, because I mean, you know, I'm independent of the Fiends. Like, I'm not part of them in that sense. It's very much, it's a collaboration. And we've got a mutual love of hip hop and kind of wanted to just see what we could create, really. So, you know, it's just one of those really nice moments of synergy, I guess, where everything lined up and it was very, very organic. It was quite quick. You know, I think I'd been talking to Ramesh Ranganathan for ages about doing something, and we just never got round to it. And then during the first few weeks of lockdown, I was like, look, can we sort something? Let's try this. And it worked. You know, he was in between filming, and it was like that. I think getting that interview, because I really respect Ramesh and the way that he's using his platform for music, you know, it's unique and very selfless as well. You know, we're especially the UK hip hop scene, like it's niche. It's not like a, generally speaking, it's not a super kind of, I guess, promotional friendly aspect to music. Because like it's a lot of us just kind of normal guys hanging around who don't have a ton of money, who are making these things and trying to make some great stuff. But, you know, we're not marketable in that way. And, you know, I think that's the thing, is like he's brought that to the forefront. And I think when we got that, I think it was one of those things where Danny and I refined it and worked out that it was a case of having a bit of a balance in terms of artists we knew would work for the Fiends and artists that I just really wanted to talk to, you know, and like really bug out with. And I mean, you guys have recently interviewed Blue and Exile. I mean, I'm with you all the way. Like I remember hearing Blue and Exile like blow the heavens. I think I was maybe 20. And I went out to America at the time, and my friend DC, like he's Dennis Coronel, like he's an incredible producer, worked with some amazing artists. He does a lot of sync stuff now, but at the time
I think his name's familiar to me.
Yeah, it probably will be, Chris, because like you've kind of done the sync stuff and the TV stuff. Like he's done a lot of things out there, like big scale stuff, you know, and work with members of Wu-Tang and all these kind of crazy things. But like he And he worked with MY Oil. Do you guys remember MY Oil?
Yeah, man. You should all get lynched.
Yeah.
I know it's Black History Month. I'm so sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, like, but he was amazing. Like, he was working with artists like that, and that kind of really built up for him. So I went out to America at the time, and like, we were just bugging out with that album. We're like, right, we need to make songs like this. There's like no sense of originality here. Let's be the next Blue and XR. I mean, this was when I was MCing, you know, like before I was producing, and like I was producing, but kind of it was a mix. You know, I was doing more lyricism than production at the time. And I remember we made a track called 88 Keys, and it was very much that kind of Narrow Path-esque sound to it. But yeah, it's just, I love all that stuff, man. You know, it's just that kind of pathway, isn't it? And it's just trying to find the right people that you just think, I really want to sit down and talk to you. I mean, Damu was just, he's a hero, man. You know, like just a real kind of genuine character who you just think, you know what, like I want to just hang out with you. Let's just stop recording and just have a chat. And it's like, it's nice because, you know, I think it's those kind of artists, and you've probably experienced it too, where they will just continue talking to you. Like the conversation doesn't end there, which is really nice. And I think it just keeps you grounded. And it's like, okay, yeah, we are all just humans at this. Yes, there's some people who are doing some bigger things than each other, but ultimately we're all in this together. You know,
100%.
Yeah,
100%. So you mentioned Romesh, you've mentioned Marley Marl, you mentioned Damu. Who's been your favorite guest on your podcast and why?
Oh man,
it might be like picking children. I understand that part, but you've got to pick one.
I don't know. I mean, I think possibly. I mean, it was the shortest interview I did, and it was one of the first ones that we released. But I think possibly Charlie Tuna, just in terms of it was the energy levels. And he's been a hero for years. And when I met him, like we hung out for a few hours beforehand, and we did the interview. And then I think it's one of those memory things with that, in terms of he, after his gig that he was doing, he was talking to his mum, and then he brought me over and he was like, hey, it's my mum and this is James, and like introduced me to his mum on his phone. And it's like, it's just this really genuine guy. And it was very much a meet your hero kind of moment of like, how are you this nice, and how you got this much energy after all these years that his spirit's not broken. If anything, it's just got larger and more beautiful, you know? And I think it's one of those things where every single guest has meant a lot to me. It's like Mecca 83 is a long, long-term friend. And I think we came up in production together. And when he was Rise, before he was Mecca 83, and we've never really actually talked about all of that and reflected on it in that way. You know, I think it was just one of those really nice conversations where I've kind of referenced him in terms of influence in my production a few times, but it's because of him that I understood like Dilla Swing with drums and so on. Like, I mean, he literally just sat down on Cubase with me for a few hours and was like, right, scrap these drums, let's start again. Like, move that, like, change this bit, like, take that off beat, and just, you know, just really kind of pushed it to make sure that I could get it. And, you know, like, gave me CD on CD of Dilla stuff and all sorts. And it's like, I genuinely think that without him, I don't think I'd have the same love and appreciation for Dilla as well. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. he changed so much for me. So, you know, those kind of interviews where, as much as, you know, I could have a chat with him any day of the week, that was a really nice moment, almost to kind of bookmark our friendship and creativity to a certain degree. So yeah, I realize I'm like trying to basically pick everyone, but I've really enjoyed
that,
all
that's
of
a,
them.
That's
but,
a really wonderful story, and I think that it's just your passion and love for music is shining through, and your passion for the culture is shining through. And I think that's a great story, because you're at this point you're kind of telling us that you've you learn something new about one of the greatest. And a lot of people in this day and age don't want to admit that and go, look, hey, someone took me through this and now I understand more. And that's the beautiful thing about music. And I love that honesty and just to go, hey, this is this. You know, if it wasn't for this person, I wouldn't have appreciated Dilla as much. And I think that's really important.
And I think that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, you know, when I was little, I think I spent a lot of time with my grandparents, like over summers, and my mum and my dad, although they were separated, were both really close to their parents. And I think, so I spent a lot of time with older people, really. And I think it helped me to understand that appreciation. And, you know, I mean, my grandparents on my mum's side, like they're, even now, you know, I mean, they're in their 90s and they're still involved in like charity work and doing so much. And like my grandpa's been part of Rotary for years. My grandma would be doing all these different things. And like from a really early age, I collect like the old Smarties tubes and put coins in there to like raise money for their charities and stuff. And like, I think it's one of those things really, isn't it? Where it just, I don't particularly like the phrase of giving back because I think it's quite cliched, but it's that idea of just acknowledging where you've come from, you know? And I think I've been really blessed to have, along the way, met some incredible people who, over time, you know, we've all had it where you don't necessarily realize where they're going to go when you're in it. And then you reflect and it's like, damn, you got there. Like, you know, and it's amazing to see that. And it's one of those really special things with it. So I think, I guess it's like, I really just try and hold on to that, in part to kind of stave off dementia so I can remember the memory. But like, you know, it's just nice to be thankful, really, like, because, you know, I should be, like, you know, I'm really lucky, you know, especially now. It's like, it's, I think it's important to have that. So yeah, for sure, man.
So on the note of being thankful, I just want to thank you for coming on the podcast. Oh, it's been in the making for a while, but I love your spirit. I love your passion for the culture, and I just like you as a person, because I don't really like people. I don't even like Summit personally, right? So when I say I like someone,
I mean that shines through, dude.
No, yeah, funny. I can't stand this brother.
Yeah.
I just want to say, no, seriously though, thank you for the conversation. It's given me a lot to think about. But for the benefit of our listeners, let them know where they can find you on social media and plug any projects that you've got coming up.
So I mean, obviously the podcast, which is the root of why we've been talking about this, is called Digging the Crates. You can check that out on all streaming platforms, and you can check it out on the Find as well. So the Find website. They've obviously got all their socials too, just to Find. And then I've kind of got a mix of socials where it's either gone well or not. So Instagram is Vice Beats. The not so well one is Twitter, which was beat by Vice, because I don't know, you even know who's got Vice Beats, but I don't like them. And then it's just Vice Beats on Facebook as well. And then my Bandcamp's the same too. So I mean, that's got more of a catalogue of stuff across the years on my side as well. So like, I had a band back in Birmingham called Genius Collective. That stuff's on there too. And also a project that I'm actually bringing, when you're saying about projects, like I'm finally releasing an album with an MC called Donnie Numeric that I've worked with for years, who's incredible, like based in Brixton. His rhymes just another level, and like we've done quite a lot together as Delegates of Rhyme, but we've never released anything solidly as a whole body of work. So like we've had this album called Assemblage that we've been working on and off for probably close to 6-7 years now, and we're finally bringing that out. And then other than that, just kind of working on new projects, lots of collaborations, and it's good, you know, like obviously doing some of the TV sync stuff, and I've finally got a publisher as well, which is nice.
Excellent. Awesome. Excellent.
I'm kind of working on that front, but yeah, so just building, really. Like, so they're kind of the socials. We're working on the third season of Digging the Crates at the moment, which is nearly there, and I'm really excited to have some of the guests on that we've got as well. So just onwards and upwards in that sense. So, you know, and it's, yeah, thanks to you guys as well. I mean, like, obviously Chris, I spoke to you about this before, but it's like when we were talking about history and stuff, it's like I remember years back what you were doing as like sort of the kinetic stuff, where it's just like smashing it, with everything you were doing, and like especially those, I guess, like sort of what, 10 years back with some of the projects you were releasing at the time when there was blogs. Remember blogs? There was blogs for days. And like, yeah, you know, I was doing stuff with like Hip Hop Hype Dog and releasing projects around then. It's like, I just remember that energy. And it's like, I think, you know, you guys have both kind of got involved in like all that kind of Hip Hop Chronicle stuff and all of that side of things. It's like, it's just, you know, so it's really nice to talk to people who not only are like-minded, but also remember that, you know, like, because it's kind of niche upon niche upon niche to the point where it's about 12 people who remember it. So it's, you know, true, it's just true. Really nice to have those kind of chats and think, yeah, this is nice, man. We're still doing it and rising and doing some great things.
No doubt. I have nothing left to say apart from good things. Really enjoyed speaking to you. Looking forward to our next episode. So, Mick,
no, I'm just going on your Bandcamp now to buy a project. So that's what I'm doing on my phone right now. No, I appreciate. No, just echo everything that that Chris said. It's really refreshing to speak to someone like you who's got an undeniable passion and a willingness to just hear different perspectives. So we really appreciate you jumping on, giving us your time. Salute to you, and let us know what you need.
And he mentioned cunning linguists. I can't believe this.
There's absolutely nobody. There is nobody who's mentioned cunning linguists on this podcast whatsoever.
It's shocking, isn't it?
And that's not because they're not amazing.
No.
I want to point out, because when we do send this over to the crew, I don't want us to think that we're dissing them. You know what I mean? Like, no one talks about cunning linguists on our podcast. Yeah, yeah.
But that's the thing, isn't it? I mean, like, the, you know, we referenced the Blue and Exile again, like, give me flowers whilst I can still smell them. There's a really strong message in there. You know, I think like every single time that someone dies, you know, a legend dies, every single time people say, oh, we need to respect our heroes whilst they're living and all, but it doesn't change. It not really, you know, for a month, yeah. You know, like Doom at the moment is like, everyone's realizing how much they love Doom. But like, obviously he got more respect in that sense. But I mean, Ty is a massive example of this, where he was doing his thing and smashing it for years and years and years. And it took him going for people to really say, oh, hold up. Because they just assume that he's part of the scenery. You know, it's like, you know, I think it's one of those things where like we do really need to find ways to celebrate. And I think that's why things like podcasts are important, but also kind of more so just finding those ways to celebrate those artists that are more sustainable, you know, because there are some incredible talented, well, just all sorts of talents in all sorts of ways, be it incredible promoters or venues or whatever. It's like, there's some incredible stuff out there. And like, it just, I don't think we do celebrate enough. It's like, there's so much of the kind of me stuff, but like, you know, we need to build our scene. And you know, I mean, I've always said like, support your scene with podcasts and stuff and like just generally music, but I think it is important. And now more than ever, with everything that's going on, like we have to find ways to make this happen, you know, and kind of not just the lip service. And I think that's why what you guys are doing with Breaking the Atoms is amazing, because it's just, you're trying to pull together those strands that are just flying out in the ether a lot, you know, and it's like, that stuff matters, you know. It's like, and it's just kind of all power to you guys on that front. So yeah, so as an avid listener, thank you. It's much appreciated.
No, we appreciate you, bro. We appreciate you.
No, thank you,
man. We appreciate your time.
Take care, and yo, give our love to the family, and we'll talk. We'll be in touch soon.
Big up to Vice Beats for jumping on the pod with us, man. He's oh man, I love that guy, man. He just
yeah. He's a nice guy. I felt humbled.
Yeah.
The fact that he recognized man's contributions to the thing, you know what I mean? That was dope.
Again, it's a testament to who he is, right? He loves this. And
he called himself an avid listener, bro.
That's
avid.
Amazing. And to be fair, we do this for all of our listeners across the world, but we do it for those listeners too. Those people who just want to hear their stories and give us the fuel and the impetus because this isn't about us. This is about plugging those gaps, as that wonderful review we had. It's about plugging those gaps because we just want to tell the story. We just want to highlight the things that we're passionate about and hear from people who've impacted this culture and who want to lend their voice. And we salute that because this is what it's all about. It's spread love the podcast way, really. So
I like that.
Yeah, so appreciate.
Spread love is the podcast way. Yeah,
man, this is it.
Yo, let's run with that.
We are running with that. But appreciate the Vice Beats, man. We salute you and can't wait for side B.
And make sure you everyone listening supports the projects. He's handed out his socials. You know where to go and get them. Make sure you support good music with your money, and you spread the word socially, as my friends on the Super Duty Tough Work podcast say.
Boom. And speaking of socials, you can follow us at Break the Atoms, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Chris's personal handle is I Am Kinetic. Mine is at Hip Hop Chronicle.
And it's the same for Clubhouse.
And it's the same for Clubhouse.
We are in the chatty house.
Yes, yes.
Yo, there's a lot of chatting going on, you know, bro.
I'm really enjoying it. And
mad dry lips and bad breath on the chatty house because people talking too much.
I'm really enjoying it. Listen, I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, man. Sometimes I see people pinging me at like 3 a.m. in the morning. I'm like, go to sleep, bro.
I'm not going to be pinging too many people in unless I think it's extremely worthy. So shout out to Raj Kotecha who welcomed Master G from Sugar Hill Gang. And I was this close to pinging you, but I was like, no, I'm not going to do that. I'll, you know, people will get the notification they see me in the room, but I'm not going to do that because I don't always want to do that. I know that's part of the process, but I also want to respect people's time and privacy, and hopefully you'll see the notification, summit in the room, so and so, I'll jump in. So
I see you in the room still, and sometimes I think like, you know, I'll jump in still, but I don't need to think like man's just following you. You get me?
It's okay.
Man's got morals out here, innit? Scruples and that. No. Scruples.
Listen, it's absolutely fine. The important thing is about connection, right? The important thing is about connection, and that's why we're growing the following on Clubhouse. It isn't just about we want to look good. It's about going, well, we're in this room having a good conversation. Why don't you jump in, right? And it's about connecting people. So it's been wonderful. You can follow us on Clubhouse at I Am Kinetic, at Hip Hop Chronicle. We appreciate all the listeners. Thank you for the chart success that we've had over the last couple of weeks. We appreciate you. We salute you. We've got more episodes coming. Until then, peace.
Peace.